Insurance is a related issue that you'll have to make up your own mind about. Of course, having it means you'll be in a better position to use a wider range of locations, and you'll be entirely above board. If you've got a funding source, there's no question that part of your budget will include insurance coverage. However, if you're funding the whole project out of your own pocket, you might choose to take a big risk and practice some guerrilla filmmaking. But, be advised that this opens you up to a lawsuit if something goes wrong or if someone gets hurt. Using tone to make difficult scripts work. The maxim among first-time directors is to avoid complicated scripts that involve science fiction, fantasy, period pieces and anything else that requires elaborate sets, costumes or a full-time script supervision. On the other hand, you can make such a script work in certain circumstances by setting the tone of your film. For instance, a hard sci-fi feature film would be folly as a first film, no matter how much you would love it. You may, however, be able to do sci-fi if you do it as an existential comedy. Here, the story and laughs make the effects and realistic portrayal of an entirely different world secondary and forgivable. In the case of a crime drama, you can use black as a color and create a very dark set to obviate the need for complicated sets and expensive location shoots. This sort of noir is practical as well as thematic. When you actually get into your production, you'll be able to make a lot of the decisions that will put the finishing touches on the theme you decide to pursue. 3. Production. Here's where you gather all your raw footage. If you don't get it here, as someone on a budget, you just won't have it. Always be ready to get one more shot and try your best to focus your attention on details as well as the wider picture of what your viewing audience will see and experience. You may be surprised that for all the time you've spent getting a feel for how to compose an elegant shot, what is often most important when it comes time for the actual production is people management skills. Film more digital? Now that some of the high-end digital cameras have begun to shoot with enough resolution to rival the rich warmth of film, your decision about whether to use a film or digital camera has become tougher. For many it's a simple preference, though there are some truisms to consider. Film almost always looks better in high-motion outdoor shots. It can bring a warmth that is very hard to approximate with even very good digital cameras. It is also very expensive, especially when you're using new stock that hasn't been sitting in a can for several years. You can't always depend upon development of the film to accurately portray the colors you are looking to capture. Managing production time wisely. Time is money, as they say. Though seemingly trite, nowhere it is more true than during the production of your first film. Since you likely will be on a strict budget, planning out your entire day from the first casting call to the final wrap is vitally important. Assuming that you've put the legwork in on your pre-production, this will be less of a concern, but problems have a tendency to crop up at the last moment that will require you to make some tough decisions as to scenes that you may have to drop or even changes to the script. Being ready to make such decisions is where your skill as a leader will be required. Sticking to a production schedule. After all the production meetings you've had with your principal crew members, you should have a schedule worked out that details exactly what shots you'll be getting on each day of shooting. For the sake of smooth operations, you must stick as closely to this roadmap as you possibly can. That doesn't mean you can't leave time for creativity, this is a creative endeavor, after all. But, the closer you stick to the schedule that outlines the shots you really need, the more likely you are to have some time left over. It's this extra wiggle time that you'll work on getting those shots that just came to you during the day's shoot, and often where you get those shots that really can make a stunning visual impact. The importance of punctuality. If you're going to expect other people to be on time, you had better be, too. That means getting there before the rest of your crew, along with craft services. If there's one thing people want to see if they've been required to get up at the crack of dawn, it's the person in charge suffering right along with them and a hot cup of coffee, ready to go. Make sure makeup and costuming are also ready before your actors show up. Films run on a very tight schedule, and your film is no different. A single crew member can hold up a production, causing everyone else to stand around waiting for something to happen. You must have an early enough call time to allow everyone to get settled in and ready before jumping into your aggressive production schedule. Just as important as starting on time is leaving on time. Of course, you'll be shooting until you get it right, but you really should aim for getting your people home at a reasonable hour, especially if they are due on set first thing the next morning. Keeping the crew busy and happy. Managing a crew is much like any other type of personal management, in that you will want to make the most of your people while you have them at your disposal. Of course, there is going to be a fair amount of simple standing around, especially by your actors, while each shot is set up. This can, however, be minimized with careful planning and allowing your lead crew members to handle their own departments. For instance, while the lighting crew is setting up a shot, you can engage your actors by rehearsing the next scene with them. Rehearsal with your actors a few days before the shoot is highly recommended as a good way to make sure that lines and marks run smoothly and according to the production schedule you've hammered out with your production leads. As a general rule, you'll be shooting out of sequence with wide shots moving into close shots, regardless of how the finished piece will be put together. Getting your actors used to this sequence a few days beforehand will be invaluable for helping you quickly convey what you need when you are on set. Letting your crew manage things. Whether you're dealing with professionals or others who are doing it for the first time, you need to trust your crew to do their jobs, so you can do yours. That doesn't mean ignoring what others are doing, as you will still need to keep an eye out for mistakes and instances where mistakes are likely to take place, but it does mean that you can't allow yourself to become preoccupied with minutiae. Film is a collaborative effort, and you need to make sure your crew knows they can give you their advice at any time. As a first-time director, you need to make sure that you listen to all their ideas, take them into consideration and make a decision. Sometimes this will be done on the fly. You certainly don't have to explain yourself if you don't take a crew member's idea, but there should be no doubt that you are the person in charge of making the decisions. This is your baby, after all. Director of photography / cinematographer. Directing a film doesn't mean you'll need to have your finger on every single button. A director of photography, DP, is an invaluable resource who actually gets the shots so you can concentrate on making decisions about them. In very small productions, the director can also take on DP duties, though things usually run more smoothly the more of these you can hand off. If this is your first time directing, you'll need to rely upon the advice of an experienced DP, so getting the very best person you can for this role is the most important slot to fill, from an artistic standpoint. Of course, a film is about more than art. That's where your assistants and producers come in. First assistant director. Catering to your needs and keeping you on the set so there isn't any downtime, the first assistant director, AD. Some folks liken them to cattle herders. This is one of the most important jobs on the set, and the organizational skills of your first AD are extremely important. Though often viewed as a gatekeeper for the director, they are primarily responsible for translating the creative whims of the director into specific direction for the other principal crew members. Usually endowed with a booming voice, the first AD is also responsible for calling for action, announcing a ready state for the crew and when the sound and second cameras should be ready to roll in anticipation of primary camera engagement. Some other common duties of a first AD might include announcing which department the production is waiting on, calling for quiet on the set, clearing the production area of bystanders and non-essential personnel, making sure the production is progressing according to the shooting schedule, directing extras and scene changes, scouting for locations, coordinating the activities of the line producer, line producer / production coordinator. Sometimes not even found on the set, line producers are the office managers of your film. This role is often commingled with that of the first AD on small shoots, but either way, someone is going to have to make copies and handle the paperwork. Additionally, small budget features may wrap some of the functions of wardrobe and makeup. Think of them as someone who is the first AD for the production itself rather than the director her or himself. Some of the many tasks assigned to the line producer / production coordinator might include making sure there are enough copies of the script for everyone, helping create and manage the budget, locating and hiring ancillary crew members, manage catering and craft services, making sure there's suitable parking for everyone, wrangling wardrobe at the last minute, handling permits and legal matters, going on emergency supply runs, disseminating and filing all the personnel and location release forms, phone calls, go for runs for last minute supplies, photocopying call sheets and production reports, making sure all the equipment is returned on time and in good condition, script supervisor. The odds are very good you'll be shooting out of sequence. Someone will have to pay attention to exactly where your characters are in the script, and that's what a script supervisor does. You'll be spending so much time making sure the delivered dialogue and images are just so, you won't have time to constantly be consulting your script. In terms of continuity, the first day is the only one you can get by without one. This duty is often closely related to that of a clapper loader on a larger shoot, making sure the slates match for each scene in the audio and video. If this aspect of the film is screwed up, the editing process is damned to extra hours of searching for the right footage and making it difficult to put everything together during the rough edit. Your role as director. You are, in short, the decision maker. This is your vision, and it's your job to make sure that what you imagine is actually what's being shot. You will function as the final word, and since there's so much going on, it's hard to rise above all the confusion and focus upon nothing beyond what's required artistically. Since you will likely be getting much of your labor for low or no prices, it's also your job to be genial to everyone who is reporting to you in one way or another. It is definitely your role to always be on the set, if possible. If something needs to be done offset, let one of your assistants handle it for you and report back. If you don't have an assistant, you need to put off what you can and quickly deal with what you must to maximize your time on set. You will be making the final decision about everything, and your crew can't proceed without your input and okay of lighting and shooting decisions. Some other tasks might include calling for lunch and breaks, making minimal script changes, interfacing with your first AD, calling for cut at the end of each scene, directing actors. As the director, you'll be spending much of your time between takes getting everything you can from your acting talent. There are innumerable books on the topic. One of the most often cited is Judith Weston's influential and well-respected book Directing Actors, which is a very in-depth text on this art and craft. Generally, you'll be telling your actors not so much what they'll be feeling as much as explaining the characters to them, giving them character background and allowing them to bring their own emotional interpretation to the role. Oftentimes, if their feet are out of frame, you can simply mark the floor with a piece of tape. Otherwise, in the case of long shots, you'll just have to practice it and make sure things look right in the monitor. This may involve a few more takes, but it's better than catching a piece of tape in frame. Rehearsals with your actors are usually done dry a few days before the shoot and quickly on camera on the day of the shoot before the film is actually rolling. The actors must know exactly where they're to stand, where their hands and heads are for each and every scene. It's generally a good idea to focus your attention on your monitor or through a viewfinder, since looking back and forth between the reality and the captured footage can be confusing. Getting the coverage you need. The old adage in production is that you'll take twice as many shots of any given scene that you think you'll need and then one more. While this may sound excessive, there are so many variables at work in even the simplest shoot, that you'll need every single one of those takes to really get what you're looking for. At the minimum, you'll be taking at least 3 shots of everything before moving on to the next scene. Don't be afraid to keep doing it until it seems right. It is not entirely uncommon, for instance, to do upwards of 20 takes of a very complicated scene. You're not an ogre for making everyone do it over and over again, you're simply getting it right. Be especially careful to keep an eye out for unfortunate reflections, rogue tire tracks, continuity mistakes and other small details that will become glaring problems in the editing process. If working with a scene that is likely to be troublesome, give yourself the advantage by getting a few extra takes for good luck. Monitoring takes. If using the talents of a DP, you'll be spending most of the actual shoot time behind a remote monitor. It is rare that you'll actually need to look through the camera's viewfinder or internal monitor, though it is often a good idea to check and make sure that what you're seeing in the monitor jibes with what your DP is seeing. When using film, you'll be back with the camera using a viewfinder. These are small viewfinders that allow you to adjust for the exact aspect ratio you'll be shooting in. There are different standards for television, film and panorama, letterboxed, presentation. You'll have to decide what you'll use before you begin filming. A used viewfinder can be obtained for as little as $100 and is useful regardless of the medium employed, though essential for film. In a pinch, you can use a piece of cardboard cut out to the specific ratio you're using or even your hands. Most experienced DPs will have their own. When to call IT a wrap. Since you've seen this film in your head from the time you picked out your script, you have to trust that you'll instinctively know when to call it a wrap. Though you may get advice from the other members of your crew, often along with suggestions for changing some little thing to help you get that take just right, the ultimate judgment is yours. Your shoot schedule is also a determining factor. You will have already gotten all the shots you absolutely need, but what is perhaps a bit more difficult to get a handle upon is when to decide that you've gotten a reasonable number of shots that you want. When you look at your script and suddenly realize that you've covered everything, it's a wrap. Be sure and tell everybody what a wonderful job they've done and how very much you appreciate it. Give them a rough time frame for when you'll all get together and view the finished product. If there's anything a cast and crew love as much as the film itself, it's the wrap party. This has the added advantage of allowing you to let your cast know how much you appreciate their effort and give everyone a copy of the finished product for them to show their friends. If you've had production stills taken, be sure and get them copies of those as soon as possible. The web makes it easy to disseminate such information, giving your crew something to show others while they're waiting for you to put the finished product together in post. For post-production. The post-production is where you'll be bringing your vision to life. You'll be using this process to take those disparate shots and assemble them into a coherent whole. This is also the process by which you'll assemble production stills and choose the best shot from a large number of takes. This process can take many times longer than the actual shoot, but is also a much less collaborative process, where you can gather all the production elements together into something viewable. Since you're likely doing this with a small budget, you probably won't be able to do pickup shots in case every shot of a given scene has been fouled up somehow. This means that you may have to cut out some shots that you really thought you needed. This is easier to do in the case of a trailer rather than a short film. One way around this is to crop in on a shot, as is often done when the boom is in frame. As long as you're not just cutting the top of your character's head off, this can sometimes be even more effective than what you had planned. Be prepared to be flexible in the edit bay. Video. First and foremost, as an inherently visual medium, you'll be looking to put together a good-looking film. Whether using film or digital, you'll be splicing and dicing together a story during this process. Special effects are usually added towards the end of the editing process, sometimes after the final edit, but usually after the rough cut. Generally, the process involves creating a rough cut that you'll use as your guide to assemble a final cut. You'll be taking notes from the raw footage as to what takes seem like the best ones, and then making a scratch copy that you can make further notes as to exactly where you'll be making the cuts and splices on the real film. The latter process is usually the least time-consuming, but don't underestimate how long it will take you to go through all the footage you took. A 5-minute trailer, for instance, can take you and an editor as much as 5 long days to fully wrangle into a finished product, using your home computer or a good post house. In a post house, you and a technician will be sitting together in a room with a state-of-the-art computer, virtually chopping up and splicing the down-res scratch footage as well as your final, high-resolution footage that will be delivered directly to CD or for distribution as final reels. As a director, you'll ideally work with an editor who wasn't actually at the shoot. Aside from the experience of a trained editor, this is important because, as a director, you've got too much time and love invested in this project to be able to mercilessly cut scenes that don't actually further the story, no matter how beautiful they may be. When particularly nice footage is discarded for story reasons, the unsavory term, baby killing, is used to convey the angst some directors feel when confronted with such a choice. A dedicated editor is, in a sense, your first test audience. One of the other advantages of a good post house is that they will have copies of very expensive and necessary film editing software. Avid and Final Cut Pro are the two most commonly used programs. Though it is certainly not unheard of for a very small budget film to be cobbled together on software that was borrowed from a friend, this can get you into big legal trouble should you unexpectedly have a minor hit on your hands. One way around this is to barter for the services of someone who runs their own freelance post house during the day. By doing the work in non-peak hours and times, often accepting that you can be pushed out of the way for real, paying work, you can often get access to real equipment and editing talent for a fraction of the cost. This is especially true of interesting projects and markets where people make their bread and butter putting together corporate training videos and other drudgery. You can save their time by taking some time before you go in and trashing the cuts that are clearly not suitable. This is very often done when you try to create in-camera effects that require many takes. You'll want to trash the clearly unsuitable takes so you can use your edit time as efficiently as possible. Final edit. If using a typical DV camera, you can do the final edit on a copy. Always make a backup, ideally with a RAID-configured storage device. Your footage is precious, of the raw footage, though if using a home model Mac or PC, you might need to take it down to standard resolution to do editing on your less powerful machine. Of your offline or low-resolution print that you'll be making your practice edit with, you'll have a script with notes as well as software marks. It's usually fairly quick work to use a very fast computer to take that online or full-resolution edit and make a copy that's ready to be output into standard DVD format, with menus and everything. It is not unusual to do the rough cut work on a home computer and then use an edit house for the final work. It's up to you and very dependent upon your budget, since they usually charge by the hour. Color correction. No matter how good your lighting, you'll be doing some color correction to make up for variables that inevitably during shooting. This can be done for the same physical location that has been shot at two different times, even just to punch up contrast or specific colors. Color correction is done with a computer program when using a digital camera. When using film, this is usually transferred to video for the process and then a new negative is cut. This is applied to an entire film using a bypass filter that gives a look to the entire edited product or individual scenes as a color style, such as the bleach bypass that is sometimes done to make film look old. Audio. Even a very well-recorded production will need to have some work done to the audio, including adding music, sound effects and sometimes actually re-recording dialogue. You can even use a different voice actor to lip-sync or even run dialogue through a digital filter to change the pitch or timbre. Again, while much of this can be done in a home recording studio, it's always valuable to elicit the help of a professional that has done this for some time and is willing to trade or donate services for the chance at a credit and a potential gig working on your next production that actually pays. Additional dialogue recording, ADR. No matter how good your actors or sound techs are, you'll almost certainly have to do a bit of pickup on the other end. This will be done in a recording studio, usually with your actors. Doing as little of this as possible is certainly the goal, but it's hard to avoid. Don't be afraid to change the audio if it just isn't right. You'll know if the sound and images don't seem to match. Another common use of ADR is to add dialogue where you've been required to make cuts in the footage or where your actors have messed up their lines in an otherwise good take. This is done with superimposing a very noiseless take of the actor's voice on top of a loop of room tone, or about 30 seconds of quiet that is usually recorded before each scene as a baseline. Your sound engineer will endeavor to recreate as closely as possible the sound and type of mic that was used in that take, too. Voiceovers are also a common use of ADR, especially in the case of trailers. Though you'll not likely use a professional voice actor to do such work, you will usually use the standard booming voice that gets people's attention. Foley. The time-honored art of sound effects is more commonly known in the industry as Foley, and there are plenty of opportunities of it in even the simplest shoots. This includes the sound of feet, fight sounds, gunfire or any ambient noise that you're hoping to include to set the tone of the scene, such as truck traffic outside a diner. This also includes creating the sound of the room, even if that's not the sort of room you're using. For instance, if you're filming a scene that's supposed to be in a metal vault, but your set is a thin sheet of metal over plywood, you'll need to actually make the room sound metallic by adding an affected track as a layer. Output and distribution. Once you're finally and reasonably satisfied with what you've got, the first thing you want to do is to show what you've got to someone who knows nothing about your film to see if it makes sense. If they don't get it, you may have to go back and recut it. If they like it, it's time to make copies. Your final HI file will be taken to a mastering house to bulk duplicate the DVD for you. Often you can make your own labels and design the packaging. This can be done very convincingly by just about anyone with a good design sense and graphic manipulation software such as Photoshop. Now that you've got a finished product, you need to get it to either the movie theaters you want to show or to the folks with money that you want to impress. Don't underestimate the amount of time you'll need to invest to actually get folks to see your film. You've just entered the realm of marketing. Whether done for profit or love, this is the part of the production where everyone is relying upon you to make something happen. This is where most businesses that fail don't do their homework. This is, by no coincidence, exactly what most artists dread. Networking, in person, online or by phone is the best way to really make the sort of connections that you'll need to use in an effort to meet the people that can actually make things happen for you. Distribution is a major topic and endeavor in its own right, but some new options have opened up in recent years for those looking to make money, such as the direct-to-DVD overseas market and direct online distribution through your own website or through a service such as iTunes or even through the film distribution networks of major hotels or airlines. If you're making a short film or a trailer, you can upload this to YouTube or other online video sites such as Atom Films or iFilms. You can't expect people to pay to see a short film unless it's part of a touring short film showcase that plays in theaters. You can also enter festivals, allowing people to give your project some recognition and, hopefully, create something of a buzz among moneyed interests looking to invest. A short film is your calling card to bigger and better things. Conclusion. You really can make a film. It's a process like any other, but one that certainly relies upon the talents and experience of many people. If you've got a really good idea and a vision, it will be infectious and creative people will want to help you be a success. Remember, it never hurts to ask. Keep asking, and something amazing just might happen.